In recent decades, millions of people have drifted away from Jesus and their Catholic faith. Sadly, many may never find their way back. I'm Tom Peterson, and I believe that God has called me to use my background in media to be a catalyst in the new evangelization. Our organization produces inspiring and creative evangelization messages that have helped lead hundreds of thousands of inactive Catholics, converts, agnostics, and atheists home to Jesus and His Holy Church. Join us as we travel across North America to bring you stories of heartbreak, redemption, and transformation as the Holy Spirit leads His people home. God has an extraordinary plan for each of our lives. He wants us to spend eternity in heaven with Him and bring as many people with us as possible. This is Catholics Come Home. Welcome to Catholics Come Home. We're coming to you from Tulsa, Oklahoma, an area not typically known as a hotbed of Catholicism because only a fraction of the population is Catholic. Yet in a moment, you'll meet an inspiring young man who's a convert to the Catholic faith. He's a young attorney and gifted with a strong intellect, not unlike St. Thomas Aquinas and other great thinkers of our church. Like everybody else in this series, our guest today came home to the church in large part thanks to a Catholics Come Home evangelization commercial, our interactive website, and of course, acting upon the promptings of the Holy Spirit. I'd like you to meet Harrison Garlick. Harrison, we're so glad you're with us today, and welcome home.
Thank you.
Harrison, tell me a little bit about your faith background growing up.
I grew up in a very devout Protestant home. We were Methodists growing up, and then somewhere around the time of, I would say high school, my family transitioned to a very charismatic-based Protestantism that was very much focused on health and wealth and kind of the gospel of prosperity train of thought. In high school was the first time I started asking serious questions because, you know, you would pray and pray very hard to a God that you loved, to take away this illness or to give me this thing, and it wouldn't happen. And at the end of the day, the only person you could blame would be yourself because you didn't have enough faith to achieve whatever the end was. So I think that even going out of high school, there were a few problems that I started to see.
Harrison, tell us a little bit about your undergraduate studies and your faith journey during those years.
So after high school, kind of following my charismatic background, I went to Oral Roberts University, which is kind of the center point for all things charismatic Protestant. So I went there, I was pretty excited, so I started to study in theological historical studies with a minor, I think, in New Testament studies. And that was really the crux of where some of the problems that were in their nascent stages in high school really started to mature for me at Oral Roberts, because that was the dominant theme of the entire campus's spiritual life. And so you started to see those same problems that when people would strive after something, so they'd have a family member that had become sick, pray, and then the family member wasn't healed as they were taught, then all of a sudden they had no one to blame but themselves. And I actually saw a lot of young men and women who really were passionate about the Lord really crumble and fall apart because they couldn't understand why they didn't have enough faith to get these things done. And so for me personally, I started to raise a lot of questions. And one of the big aspects that I started to notice was that there wasn't a harmony between faith and reason. And that started to become a very, very big problem for me. And so actually faith and that concept, how it was talked about, was actually, it was something that trumped reason. Reason was something to be overcome. Faith was almost took on a somewhat magical proportions, where if you said the right words and you had enough belief behind it, X would happen. At certain points, we were actually taught that God was like a cosmic Coke machine. If you could push the right button, you would receive the right item. And so for me, that started to become increasingly troublesome, because I thought that, you know, the God of nature, the God that created reason, was the same God that has sent Jesus Christ. So to have an organized religion, this charismatic Protestantism that taught you reason was wrong, it had to be overcome, seemed very troubling. But again, I didn't know Catholicism at all. I didn't know any really Christian branch that taught that faith and reason were harmonious at all.
So at some point, you decided to take a deeper look at faith. What made the pivotal difference?
So I noticed that one other student in a lot of my classes had very similar critiques that I did, but he also had solutions. And he was like, oh, well, you know, the early church, they said X, Y, and Z, or, you know, for the first millennia of the church, they said this, which just was fascinating because my whole theological upbringing, we didn't study anything past like 1900. Like, we knew Jesus came, and that was great. Somehow we got the Bible and a few core doctrines like the Incarnation and the Trinity. They somehow came about. And then you skip all the way to Martin Luther. We don't agree. We didn't agree with anything Luther taught, except for the one thing that we didn't have to be Catholic. That was the one thing we liked about him. So one of the things that just hooked me immediately with Catholicism is I remember I distinctly remember the day I was in Systematic Theology 2, actually taught by a former Catholic. Faith and Reason came up. And of course you had, Martin Luther coming up and talking about that, reason is a whore, the greatest enemy faith has. It's like, okay, that's not exactly what I'm looking for. You had a lot of other people that didn't know exactly how to deal with reason. Reason was normally typically talked about something that had to be overcome. If you could just set your logic and reason aside, then you could be a good Christian. I remember, so then we got to a pope, which was a whole foreign concept for me, and it was Pope John Paul II and his encyclical Fides et Ratio, right? Faith and Reason. And it was only, I think the only the quote was like the opening paragraph, and it just stuck with me. It was like a splinter in the back of my mind that would not leave me alone, because it said that faith and reason were harmonious. Faith and reason were the two wings on which man ascended to God. I was like, no one has ever spoken about faith and reason that way, ever, in my life. No one has ever done that. And again, Catholicism was so foreign to me, so foreign. You had Mary in purgatory, and like the cult of the saints and relics. I mean, just like, you know, it's like one thing to be like, oh, faith and reason, that is fantastic. And then you like, you know, look up pictures of Catholicism online, and it's like people kneeling and kissing bones. And I'm like, okay, I don't know exactly how to handle this. My friend I'd met at Oral Roberts started taking me to the Latin Mass, actually. So I went straight, you have to realize that what I went from was like people running around with 30-foot purple ribbons, praying in tongues, throwing glitter, and having rock concerts, to the Latin Mass. I remember being, at first, just really taken back by the solemnity of it all. Like something, I didn't understand the Eucharist, I didn't understand anything, but I understand like something's going on here, something very important. And then about halfway through, I was like, this is the most boring thing I've ever been to in my life. And I distinctly remember looking up at the crucifix, and the priest is up at the altar, and I just remember like, I am so used to being entertained. I do not know worship outside entertainment. I don't know. So, and I just remember from there on, I really had a hunger to go to the Mass and to learn about it. But it was still a very foreign concept, because a lot of, I started reading a lot of the early church fathers, right? And all of a sudden they are talking about Mass and bishops and priests and the Eucharist and a whole jargon that I've never been familiar with growing up charismatic. But I was like, well, where is this church? Like, that was my largest concern, is I'm starting to understand the early church fathers. I'm starting to understand their wisdom and their critiques and what really mattered to the Christians just a generation away from Christ, right? They weren't praying for new Mercedes. They actually weren't even praying for themselves to all be healed. They were praying for a good and glorious death, right? They were praying to be worthy to take the Eucharist, and concepts that were just really far removed. So I had to have something that showed me this church was alive and well.
Coming up, we'll see what prompted Harrison's conversion.
Both sides of our family are somewhat unsettled, because obviously this isn't the wedding that they were planning for, right? They had all these ideas, and we're like, well, there's this thing called the Mass, and we're going to have, you know, a Mass.
Should I try to use my mind to figure everything out, or should I simply rely on faith to understand? See, those who rely on faith alone to view the world are not using their minds to reason. And those who only rely on reason to interpret reality are turning their backs on the gift of faith. Well, the perfect solution involves a marriage of both faith and reason. See, God knew that we would be full of questions, big questions, as large as our universe. And God created us with intellects to wonder, dream, and philosophize. Yet God asks us to believe in some truths that we can't see with our eyes. We can arrive at perfect truth when we choose to see with the eyes of faith while we reason with our minds. And our faith can truly blossom when we explore it with our mind. Maybe St. Augustine said it best, "I believe in order to understand, and I understand in order to believe."
For 2,000 years, our family has celebrated life and prayed for our world. We cared for the poor, started hospitals, blessed marriages, and educated generations of children. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we compiled the Bible. We are the Catholic Church, with over 1 billion in our family, in the church started by Jesus. If you've been away, come home to your parish and visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
So how specifically did Catholics Come Home help you on your faith journey?
I stumbled across Catholics Come Home. So I was like, okay, well, I don't really even understand that phrase, but let's just see what they have here. And I saw Epic, and it just hit me. It hit me like a train, because what happened was, is that what I had seen in the early church fathers, the texts, the concepts, the theology that I really loved, someone had to prove to me that that church was still alive, that there was a vitality in that church. That's what had to be proven to me. And I watched the Catholics Come Home commercial. I had a huge emotional response, because all of a sudden here was a global church. Here was a church that was alive and well, claiming to be the same church that Christ started, the same church of the early church fathers, the one that set the books of the Bible, the ones that described the incarnation and the Trinity. That church was alive and well in the world. And it just hit me. And, you know, the commercial was beautiful. And it showed people from all around the world. And, you know, how people in Africa had worshiped, people in Asia had worshiped, had never impacted my religion before. But now I'm saying, like, in Catholicism, they're unified. In Catholicism, this ancient church is alive in the modern world. And so for me, that really, I mean, whatever seeds have been planted during the ORU, or Robert University stage, the Catholics Come Home commercial epic really watered those and nourished them for me. It basically just created a greater hunger to go out. And if this church is alive and well, I want to go out and find it.
Specifically, when and where did you convert to the Catholic faith?
So I was a student at Oral Roberts University, graduating with a theology degree, theological historical studies. What do I do now? Right, I've studied all this theology, and now also I'm interested in what seemed like a completely different faith. So I took probably what was one of the greatest leaps of faith in my life, and I decided, well, I'm going to apply to get a master's at a Catholic school, which seemed really foreign. I didn't even know what the Catholic schools were. I didn't know which ones were popular. I didn't know which ones were good. So I went down over the summer to take an 8-week intensive study course at Ave Maria University in Latin, and I just fell in love with the place. It was just an incredibly quaint town. The professors were fantastic. The curriculum was faithful to the church and incredibly intellectually rigorous, right? And that is what really spoke to me. So I remember going to a little coffee shop there in town and asking the priest out for coffee, the priest who ran the theology department, and telling him, okay, listen, I know on my transcript it says, you know, Oral Roberts University. I realize that I don't know a whole lot about the faith, but I work very hard, and I really want to come here for a full master's degree. And I was really at his mercy, too, because that was, my undergraduate was kind of looked at in skepticism. They didn't really know what to expect. And, of course, they're accepting all these kids from Catholic schools around the country. And I'll never admit, it's Father Lamb, who actually, a couple years later, ended up marrying my wife and I. He took a chance on me, and he said, yes, we'll accept you with scholarship. Come to the master's program. And it was the best decision of my life, right? And every course there really focused on Thomas Aquinas and the Summa Theologiae, right? The Summa Theologica. And every single course was faith and reason. Here's how they go together. It's the same God, right? Same God that sent Jesus Christ, the same one that gave us logic, and those two should be in harmony at all times. But I just fell in love with the community, and everything there that I was searching for, I found, right? So I was looking for the faith and reason. I found it in the studies of St. Thomas Aquinas. I was looking for adherence to the ancient church, the early church, and I found it there with a very faithful liturgy and a very faithful community. And then thirdly, I was looking for that community. I was looking for the people to live the faith with, right? I didn't want to be alone. And there I found it. My girlfriend at the time, we both went through RCIA. And we went through the whole process, and we came into the church at the Easter Vigil, and I've never had so many parties in my entire life, except for that night, right? I mean, the whole town shows up. And that is where Catholics Come Home actually started to, that phrase started to make a lot of sense. Because then, that night, people started telling me, welcome home, welcome home. So even though I wasn't a revert, I had been away, right? So here I am, I've entered the church with my girlfriend at the time, who's now my wife, and welcome home, right? And so they're handing me rosaries and cake and beer and everything. I'm like, this is fantastic. I definitely joined the right religion.
So you came into the church and were then married?
So here we are, we're new Catholics, and we want to get married, and we're planning this wedding, and both sides of our family are somewhat unsettled because obviously this isn't the wedding that they were planning for, right? They had all these ideas, and we're like, well, there's this thing called the Mass, and we're going to have, you know, a Mass. So the wedding itself really kind of demonstrated, I think, some of the familial things and relationships that we had to overcome, because at the Mass, when there was communion, there's maybe 200 people showed up. I think 4 people in the crowd took communion. That's how many Catholics were there. That's it. There was my wife and I up front, and like 4 lonely souls. It was really funny because the 4 Catholics there thought it was like a trick because no one was getting up for communion, so they didn't know why no one was getting up for communion, and slowly like all 4 of them started trickling out and going up to receive. But you know, we didn't really have a lot of like family support in that area. You know, over time now, I think there's been a lot of conversations between us and both sides of the family, and I think they've become much more understanding of the faith.
In a moment, we'll find out what's going on in Harrison's life now.
These things they've heard their whole lives, like Catholics believe this, Catholics believe that. To watch those things finally settle in them and they come to peace with them, or they just, or it unlocks something they've always wished was true, right? That's where a lot of the joy of teaching really, really strikes home.
Today's episode, we talk how faith and reason go hand in hand in Catholic tradition. You know, so many people who are not from a Catholic background, either a different faith tradition or perhaps they're first starting their faith journey altogether, simply don't understand what Catholics believe and why we teach what we teach. Here's a technique that you can use. It's at the end of chapter 6 in Catholics Come Home, God's Extraordinary Plan for Your Life. And it's a tip that's called the feel, felt, found technique. Here's how it works. Perhaps the other person is from a different faith tradition. Maybe they know a lot about their faith, and you need to share something that's a teaching and not sure how to do it. The feel, felt, found technique builds a bridge between you and that other person. For example, let's say you're talking about a teaching of the church on a moral issue, sanctity of human life, marriage, one of the other pivotal issues of our day. The feel, felt, found technique works like this. I understand how you feel. I know other people felt the same way as you did. But upon further research, in reading the Catechism of the Catholic Church, in studying Scripture on what Jesus taught about that particular topic, they found this to be true. And see, you build that bridge in communication between you and the other person you're witnessing to allow them to save face and to present the position of Jesus' teachings through the Catholic Church. It's a technique that helps build that bridge and doesn't create animosity, but creates a fertile ground for you to share the faith. Whether it's the feel, felt, found technique at the end of chapter 6 or any of the other tips we have at the end of our chapters in Catholics Come Home, consider using one of these helpful hints in sharing your faith and helping to love somebody to heaven. So Harrison, what are you doing now?
So I graduated from Ave Maria University, the master's in theology. I married my wife, Amy, and we moved to Tulsa, Oklahoma, because I'm at the University of Tulsa now pursuing a Juris Doctorate. And we just had the first grandchild on either side of our family, little Genevieve Marie Garlick. and we just had her baptized.
Harrison, how are you living out your Catholic faith now?
I volunteer a lot. I volunteer as a catechist using my theological education at our local parish, Christ the King. That, in many ways, is the most important thing I do at the end of the day. I enjoy studying the law. It's very interesting. But to be with those people throughout those 8 months or so and teach them and watch their eyes pop when all of a sudden a doctrinal concept makes sense, right? These things they've heard their whole lives, like Catholics believe this, Catholics believe that. To watch those things finally settle in them and they come to peace with them, or it unlocks something they've always wished was true, right? That's where a lot of the joy of teaching really, really strikes home. So to be with them and watch them come into Easter Vigil is a great way that I participate. I'm also very blessed at the University of Tulsa to be on what's called the Public Interest Board. And we help develop and control a lot of the pro bono and charity work that the College of Law does. And we've been very privileged to have huge community outreach, to serve the poor. And I think that's definitely a form of which you share your faith. It might not be sitting down with someone and explaining them the Trinity or the Eucharist, but when you go out with people and you help feed the hungry, you help clothe the homeless, that speaks volumes to people. It really does. And so one of the things that we try and do, and I try and do here, is instill a good sense of community service and volunteering in the community while I'm here at law school and the other students. And so one of the things we also do is we'll take them to charities, we'll take them to the food bank, and we'll take them to Catholic Charities too, who here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, actually has a fantastic campus. I love Catholic Charities. Obviously, I'm Catholic. I really supported them. And then I went and actually visited the campus, and I was blown away.
How will being Catholic help you as a husband, a father, and help your family get to heaven?
In the marriage, I think that there's helped me be a better husband. I mean, the grace, the sacrament of marriage, actually being able to come together with my wife and pray the rosary, to say we each night before we go to bed, we pray to our saints, you know, for our family. I mean, that the unified prayer to come together in faith, the unity that we have between each other now in the Catholic faith is something that we just cannot ever let go of.
Harrison, what do you appreciate most about your Catholic faith?
At the end of the day, I have a lot of peace that I'm engaged in a religion, in a faith, that faith and reason are harmonious. So it's one thing to sit down with someone and say, you know, Jesus died for you, right? You should believe in him and you should dedicate your entire life to him. It's another thing to actually sit down with someone and logically go through, like, well, what is justice, right? What is that? What does that mean? Well, what is sin? Like, what is this thing that we're always falling short, right? But when you study nature, you study reason, you study natural law, I think all of a sudden it gives you a table to come to. It's a table for dialogue, to sit down and be like, listen, let's talk about the human condition. Let's actually talk about what we know about each other as rational animals. And so whether it's in the law, which obviously has huge imports for society and what we do with our laws as society and what's the best way to run a country, or whether it's just how to run your own individual life, right? What does it mean to actually be a well-ordered human being? That faith and reason is a huge, huge evangelistic tool.
My husband and I once got into a conversation with a pair of street preachers. Today's viewer question will help you evangelize Protestants who don't always feel very positive about Catholic beliefs. How do I evangelize our Protestant friends who have been taught a lot of falsehoods about Catholicism? First, keep your cool. My husband and I were enjoying lunch when a pair of street preachers began standing right outside of our cafe, holding microphones and citing Bible verses. It didn't take long before they said something untruthful and bitter about Catholics. So, Ray and I finished our lunch and walked over to chat with them about what the Bible really teaches about the priesthood and what Catholics really believe. It was critical, however, that we remained patient and loving during our conversation. No matter what we were to say, if we didn't say it with love and respect, they wouldn't be inclined to listen, which would ultimately result in their concluding that Catholics were just like they thought. Second, always bring the conversation back to authority. If you want to share the truth about some teaching with Protestant Christians, you'll need to bring up the issue of authority. How do they know which books are in the Bible? and how do they know they're interpreting those biblical books correctly? For example, the New Testament canon wasn't finalized until a few hundred years after Jesus founded his church, and yet the church survived. She survived in part through the oral teaching, sacred tradition handed down from the apostles by their successors, the Pope, and the bishops in communion with him. These make up the church's magisterium, her teaching authority, who can assure us which books belong in the Bible and how to understand them correctly. So we can affirm our Protestant friends for their knowledge of Scripture, but we should invite them to know it better. A great way for them and us to do so is to read the Bible along with the Catechism of the Catholic Church. We'll see more clearly how Christ has sustained his church since founding it on St. Peter and the other apostles almost 2,000 years ago. Finally, extend an invitation. Many Protestants have never been evangelized by a Catholic. They are used to doing the evangelizing, trying to persuade Catholics to recognize the supposed falsehoods of our faith. Be the Catholic who invites them to learn more about Catholicism, to challenge themselves to learn what Catholics really believe, through a great book or a website like CatholicsComeHome.org or Catholic.com. Make sure that you offer your prayers for them too. In fact, pray with them, right there on the spot, that God may draw all of you into the fullness of his truth. Invite them to Mass with you, so that they can see how we worship Jesus in the church he gave to us and to all men and women.
Here's your chance to get active in the new evangelization. Visit the CatholicsComeHome.org website, enter through the door, and click on the Shop tab. Here, you can order a Catholics Come Home book, evangelization cards, a DVD of the evangelicals, or a car magnet. If you or someone you know has come home to the church thanks in part to Catholics Come Home, let us know. Or if you have a comment, question, or want to support our mission, email us at info@CatholicsComeHome.org or write to us at Catholics Come Home, P.O. Box 1802, Roswell, Georgia, 30077. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We thank God for his blessings upon Harrison, Amy, Genevieve, and their growing Catholic family. It's so inspiring to see a devoted young Catholic family that offers so much hope and promise for our future. As this young law student pointed out, faith and reason coexist to help us grow closer to Jesus Christ and his one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Catholics Come Home. Please remember to keep Harrison, the Garlick family, and all of us at Catholics Come Home in your prayers. Do your part in the new evangelization and help love someone to heaven.